preparing you for the second coming of Jesus Christ. You're listening to Prophecy Quake on Blog Talk Radio.
Isaac and Jacob, we give you praise. You are great. You are holy. Your word is from everlasting to everlasting, Lord. You declare, Jesus, that your word is forever, Lord, that heaven and earth would pass away, but your words would never pass away. We thank you, Lord, the Holy Bible. Lord, is truly every bit of it is inspired, God-breathed truth. God, we pray today that you will strengthen us as Christian people to believe the Bible and to stop conforming to the world and quit fearing man and worrying about what the world thinks of us, but that we should believe and take a stand for your truth and your power above all else and the wonderful, powerful name of Jesus. We thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Hallelujah. Well, so much to talk about. Praise God. I like seeing this. Everybody's up in the front row this morning. I like that. Hallelujah. I tell you what, that's a blessing. Thank you, Jesus. Well, listen, got a couple of things just to let y'all know. Those of you watching my Periscope, those of you listening to my Blog Talk Radio, we're going to get on our part two of our subject on the issue of suicide, antidepressants, or psychotropic drugs or psychiatric drugs. This morning I've called part two, The New Sorcery and Psychiatric Drugs. I am telling you that I didn't know that this was going to end up being probably three or four because there's so much information coming out. But just to let those of you who have been listening to the radio, watching on Periscope, you know, we've mentioned, I've got to say this. Yesterday, well, this past week we spent, Nancy and Faith and I spent the week, the most part of the week anyway, in Pensacola, Florida on a much needed vacation. And it was wonderful. We had a great time. But on the way home, we went by way of Mobile and met Kevin and Andrea and our friend Paul Kelly down in Citronelle, Alabama, near Mobile. We met on Mobile Bay down in Fairhope. We drove down, and I brought a telescope, and Kevin bought the, what is it? Is it a Nikon or whatever? How do you say it? Nikon Coolpix, what is it? 900, 83 times zoom to do our flat earth test across Mobile Bay. 13 miles, we were 13 miles from Mobile, it's downtown Mobile, and we could see the USS Alabama all the way to the ocean. We could see the bottom of it. According to the Earth curvature, there should be at least, what did we say, 75 feet of curvature. So 75 feet is nearly eight stories. So really the only part of the USS Alabama that we should have seen is the very top of the mast, but we could see where the boat met the water, and then we could see the cranes at ground level. From 13 miles, we saw ships that were beyond the horizon, way beyond the three-mile limit of the horizon. So, folks, I want to tell you something. We did our own test. You can say it's no longer speculation. It's no longer, we just watched some internet videos and other people doing their tests. Fire and Grace Church went out. We tested it. Our friend Paul Kelly down in Citronelle, he graduated from LSU. He's an engineer degree and, excellent in mathematics. And he was like, he witnessed it all. I mean, we could see the full box of the crane sitting on the ground 13 miles. We could see I-10 all the way to the water. We could see trucks and stuff on I-10 from 10 miles. So we did our test. There is no curvature of the earth as we have been taught. So we'll be presenting that information in videos, and I'm going to do a part three on that in the days ahead. God's word is true, folks. Whether it comes to the nature of creation, whether it comes to how we are saved and that there is only one way to be saved, and that's through Jesus. You must believe that he died on the cross and rose from the dead. There's only one way of salvation. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the Bible teaches us in the, the truth, that there are evil spirits. There is an entity named Satan, Lucifer, the dragon, that old serpent, the devil. He has fallen angels with him. He has demon spirits with him. Demons are real. And we as the church, listen, this is one of the things that I was impressed upon just with all these topics. They go completely against the entire world system, okay? But since when are Christians supposed to conform to this world and this system of this world? And this subject on when you start talking about psychiatry and particularly the use of psychiatric drugs, psychotropic drugs, whatever you want to say, SSRIs, when you start talking about this, of course, it's very contrary to the world system, because the world system that says this is the way we are going to treat chemical imbalances or mental illnesses. And folks, I just want to say very clearly that God in his word never ever said you're going to need a drug or a plant or some extract or some herb or anything else to treat a mental issue. All right? I'm just going to be very blunt. I don't care if it's not popular. I don't care if the scientific and medical community, I don't care if they don't like it. In fact, right now, I'm going to show you there's some doctors, one Harvard graduate that's been in psychiatry as long as I've been alive, longer really, graduated from Harvard. He's written 20-something books, but this guy, and he's not even a Christian, and he's saying these drugs don't help at all, and I'm just starting to read his stuff. I just bought his book yesterday, Toxic Psychiatry. He's got a book that's probably the book is $70 on the ebook is $70. In fact, yeah, that's the book I just bought last night. I'm just now getting into it. The one that is almost you want to talk about all the studies, all the research. I mean, if you need a PhD, a doctor, to tell you the truth about these drugs, Dr. Peter Bregan is the one. You can throw up the other picture. This is the book I'm really trying to sink my teeth into. Brain Disabling Treatments in Psychiatry, Drugs, Electroshock, and the Psychopharmaceutical Complex. Dr. Peter R. Bregan, and I'm going to tell you, he is amazing. He's also been an expert witness in numerous cases that have been awarded damages from drug companies. But anyway, I want to go back to, here's a Harvard graduate doctor saying, in fact, I watched some of his videos last night, no one should ever take, this is what he says, no one should ever take a psychiatric, psychotropic, antidepressant drug ever. Now, this is not a Christian. This guy is a Harvard psychiatrist, MD. He was appointed to the National Institute of Mental Health. He is a lifelong member of the American Psychiatric Association. This guy taught at Johns Hopkins, okay? This is not a dummy here. This is not a lunatic. This is not a freak on the fringe. This is not a conspiracy theorist. This guy has the goods. He has the education, the experience. He's been in practice, private practice, since 1968. Think about it. I was born in 1967. I mean, this guy's been in private practice, right, for 47 years. He says it. So you can say, well, Pastor Dean, you don't have any backup. Well, here's some backup. If you need someone from the world, and he's got numerous doctors, psychiatrists, and medical doctors that agree with him, recommend his books highly. See, let me just say this for those of you skeptics out there, those of you who love the world and love the things of the world and think the world has the answer to your problems. All right? Let me just say this. You're going to have to wake up to the fact that problems, mental problems in particular, are spiritual. They're spiritual problems. And I'm going to show you something. In fact, let's turn to the book of Deuteronomy. I need to look this up. This is very interesting. I pulled it up just a minute ago. It came to my mind. Hadn't thought about it in a long time. Deuteronomy chapter 28. This is talking about the blessings and the cursings. All right? Go to Deuteronomy chapter 28, and let's start here this morning. We'll get back to this subject here. We'll get back to Dr. Bregan and some of these other things. But I want to talk to you about the new sorcery, okay? I want to give you the scripture. We're going to go through a few scriptures to lay the foundation of this first, okay? Now, this is Deuteronomy 28. This tells you God spoke to the children of Israel, and he told them very specifically, if you obey me, these blessings will come upon you and overtake you, right? If you hearken diligently to my voice, the Lord says, and God's voice primarily, number one, is the written word, the scriptures, the Bible, Genesis to Malachi, Matthew to Revelation. If you will listen to my word diligently, if you will hearken and obey, he says, all these blessings will come upon you. And he tells you all the blessings. You'll be blessed, your health, everything. Right? God will take care of you. And that doesn't mean, again, it doesn't mean you're not going to ever have any problems, but he says, hey, you'll overcome them. I'll be with you. I'll bless you. You'll see the blessing. Right? But he says, if you disobey the commands of the Lord, if you reject what the Bible says, you disobey God's commandments and his directions and his morality, this is something that he says will come upon you. Now look at what it says. We'll go down to we'll start reading at verse 27. He says, and you can read it all. I'm not going to read the entire chapter. You'll have to, if you want it all in context, you read it all yourself. But because it says, about if you don't obey the Lord, these curses will come upon you. It says, the Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt, with emerods, that's hemorrhoids, with the scab, with the itch that you cannot be healed from. And then look at verse 28, Deuteronomy 28, 28. The Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. And thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness, and thou shalt not prosper in thy ways, and thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. Now the word madness here in the Hebrew is shigaon, and here's what it means. Craziness. The root word shaga means to rave through insanity. Do you hear what I'm saying? Now, these are the scriptures. I know that the psychiatrists and the doctors try to tell you that your mental problems, your emotional problems, are caused by chemical imbalances in your brain, which they cannot prove. I'll get into the fact where that made up. A drug company actually made up. That was a PR campaign. That is not science. That is not from scientific study whatsoever. Okay? In fact, Dr. Bregan has said that he sees far better results in people who are having emotional problems, mental problems, even schizophrenia, he says. He sees more success in helping people through just sitting down and talking to them. And guess what? He said, loving them and caring about them. He said, psychiatry has become lazy. It doesn't want to spend the time in counseling and talking and therapy. It wants to just write a prescription. And of course, if they're getting money under the table from the drug companies, why not just write a prescription, get your check, and move to the next patient? It is a business, all right? Business needs customers. But now when this says the Lord will smite you, it doesn't mean that the Lord will do this to you. What happens to us, listen, the blessings of God comes from God's hand being upon us and Him putting a hedge of protection, a shield around us to keep Satan and the demon spirits from oppressing us and destroying us. That's the blessing of God. So all God has to do when it says He will do this, it just simply means He will step back and let the spiritual forces of Satan and the demons come in and oppress you and afflict you. And notice He says there that there won't be any help for you. You wonder why? There are a lot of people, listen, there are a lot of people out there that claim that these antidepressants and these psychotropic drugs help them. But let me explain what happens. Let's say, for instance, that, you know, I break my wrist or I break my thumb. Now, when I was a heathen, when I was unsaved, not walking with Jesus as I should, I could go out and play football and fracture a rib. I had fractured ribs and had concussions and knee surgery. Football was rough on me. But I have gone and played in a football game and fractured ribs. And gone out that evening and drank enough beers until I didn't feel the fractured rib anymore. And I had a fun time that evening, right? Until the drug called alcohol wears off, right? You see what I'm saying? You say, I could claim, oh, the 15 beers helped my pain of my fractured rib. Couldn't I? But did it really? What did it do? It only masked the pain for a little while. And this is what people are claiming help from, that it masks the pain or it deadens the pain, emotional pain, spiritual pain. It deadens that for a little while. But what all these studies are beginning to show and the testimony of people, I mean, I've had several people, and I say several, I said quite a few actually, just in the past week send me emails or talk to me personally who said, yeah, I was on these things, and yeah, it helped a little bit at first, and then all of a sudden things would just got worse and worse and worse and worse. I've heard testimonies about lithium. I found out some stuff about lithium that I didn't know. All kinds of stuff, Zoloft, Thorazine, all these things. There's also a connection between all these mass murdered, you know, these school shootings, and suicides, and there's a big connection. Almost all of them are on these drugs. Zoloft, Paxil, terrifying. All right? I'm just going to tell you right now, you better run from this stuff. Okay? It's not an accident. But think about this. The Lord said madness, insanity. You see that? Astonishment of heart. Let me pull up the Hebrew word astonishment here. Consternation, to be amazed, to marvel, to wonder. But isn't it amazing? He says, look at verse 29. He says at the end of it, he says, and thou shalt be only oppressed. You'll be oppressed. He says, you'll be oppressed and spoiled evermore. How many of you know people like that? They live in constant oppression. Their lives are completely spoiled continually. I'm beginning to wonder how many people are being completely destroyed mentally, emotionally, spiritually by the new sorcery. And you say, why do I call it sorcery? Well, let's look at it. I'm going to give you a few scriptures. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Kevin will put this up. Starting at verse 19. I'll show you something this morning. How many of you know in the Bible that you'll see the term in the New Testament, witchcraft, and you'll see the term in the New Testament called sorcery? Okay? Now, sometimes you have to go back to the original Greek. The New Testament was written in Greek originally. So you go back and you see what these words are, and you find out, for instance, I'll give you Acts chapter 8. I know you turn to Galatians 5. I'm just going to tell you, Acts chapter 8, when it talks about Simon the sorcerer who bewitched the people of Samaria using sorcery, the Greek word there is magos, magos. And that term means magic, okay? So he's clearly referring with this word, sorcery, with Simon the sorcerer. In fact, he was known as Simon Magus. It means that he was a magician. He literally operated in the supernatural demonic realm of magic and spells and incantations. That's very real. There are real sorcerers who operate in magic spells. In fact, I had one comment on my page the other day, Cat the Witch. I went to her page. She is a proud pagan woman, as she says. Right? So we had a little conversation. Didn't last long. But you have the word sorcery or witchcraft, and it's used, the Greek word is magos, to mean magic or sorcery, spells, incantations, the supernatural realm. But then you have this word here, when you have in Galatians 5, it says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, listed in the sins of the flesh that will damn you to hell if you practice them. This word here is the word, can be the word witchcraft or the word sorcery, but it is the Greek word pharmakeia. Let's put it up. Here is the word. I got Kevin to find it for me. Notice what the word says here about it. Pharmakeia, the use of medicine, drugs, spells. Pharmakeia, administer drugs. Properly drug-related sorcery like the practice of magical arts. But this particular word is very clear that it's the, one of the definitions is the administering of drugs. Now, who does that? Doctors do that, right? Pharmacist. Does this word pharmakeia sound familiar? Pharmacist. A drug distributor. Now, a lot of people only relate this to what we think of illicit drugs, you know, illegal drugs, right? Marijuana, cocaine, heroin, ecstasy, whatever. Take your pick. LSD, synthetic man-made drugs, or things that we find in nature that are abused, like the mushrooms. And I know about it. I did mushrooms. See, I can tell you something. I did, when I was unsaved, when I was living in the world, I did marijuana. I did cocaine. I did LSD one time, never again. Did mushrooms a handful of times. So I'm not just talking to you as some little preacher boy who never did anything wrong. Okay? I'm grateful to be alive. There were certain situations several times that I mixed drugs and alcohol that I should not be alive. Alcohol poisoning, I was rushed to the hospital. I shouldn't be alive. I wrecked my cars, drunk and so drunk that I couldn't, you know, and messed up on drugs and alcohol that I should be dead. I should be dead and in hell. So this is not an advertisement for you young people to go out and test it out, because there's a lot of young people testing it out that don't make it as I did. The only reason I made it is because God's mercy in my life. I thank God. I think about it every day that I could have died, especially when I was 16, 17. I should have died and went to hell many times. So God had mercy on me. But this word sorcery, pharmakeia, the use of drugs, medicine, the administration of drugs, okay? Now let's go to Revelation chapter 9. You're going to see the same word again. And this is in the end time. So he talks about this situation here, and this is when I believe the next trumpet to be blown will be the sixth trumpet. War will be World War III. Let's start reading Revelation 14, 9, verse 14. We'll start there. Here's what he says. saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour, a day, a month, and a year, for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000. And I heard the number of them. Thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire, and jacinth, and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire, and smoke, and brimstone. And by these three was the third part of men killed by the fire, and by the smoke, and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents, and they had heads, and they do hurt. And the rest of the men, which were not killed by these plagues. Now remember, these are six of the trumpets, six of the plagues. He said, the rest of the men that were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk, neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Here's the word sorceries here. It's pharmakeia. The use and the administering of drugs. Now, let me just say this. You can go back and you can do your own study, but I looked at it yesterday. In all occult mysticism, whether you go back to the ancient shamans, Hindu shamans, voodoo witch doctors, you go back, I mean, you can go back thousands of years, go all the way back to the Oracle of Delphi that Paul had a confrontation with one of the priestesses of the Oracle of Delphi in Acts chapter 16. But you can go back in Greek history and Roman history, and you can find out what the Oracle of Delphi was. This was a woman who was a witch. She was a medium, so she was demon-possessed, but she sat in a cavern, in like a cave, that had a crack underneath it, and out of this crack came this gas from the midst of the earth, but it had an intoxicating effect. There's speculation on what it might have been leaking out from under the earth, but she would sit in there until she became affected by this gas, this intoxicating gas. And then she would begin, through both the drug, the help of the drug, and the help of her demons, she would begin to give her prophecies and her fortune telling. And I mean, we're talking about kings and generals of armies, and people would come there and pay money and get her prophetic words, her divination, her fortune telling. And it was usually one woman was the Oracle of Delphi, and she would have all these priestesses, get this, who were declared to be, going to be celibate from the rest of their time. This is where the nuns thing comes from. And it's also from where holy water comes from, because there were streams around there, and people looked at the water as having supernatural power from the little fairies and things that were around there. So they would use that water. So that's where the Roman Catholic Church gets nuns and holy water from, the Oracle of Delphi, right? But anyway, you can go back into all these ancient religions, false religions, mind you, deceptions of Satan, and even bring it forward into the 20th century with the great occultist Aleister Crowley, Aldous Huxley, the great author and writer, Aldous Huxley, who was nothing more than a Satanist, an occultist, and they all advocated that if you wanted to be more spiritual in the occult demonic realm, you needed to mix in drug use, some type of intoxicant, some type of hallucinogen, something to enhance your spirituality, which was demonic. So listen, Satan's been doing this. There is nothing new under the sun, as it says in Ecclesiastes. There's always been a mixing of drugs and false religion. Always. The Hindus, the Native Americans, the voodoo shamans in Africa. I mean, you just go down your list. So this is nothing new. So we now have, though, the new sorcerers. Because now, with the advancements in technology, we have created new psychedelic drugs, new hallucinogens, Now we only claim that they're, you know, see, the sophisticated people, we always claim, but they're helping us. Right? But it's been proven, especially more and more of these drugs are being prescribed and given to children and adolescents and teenagers. And I mean, it is causing violence and murder and suicide rates to blow out of the water. And what's so amazing is the FDA now has been forced to put warning labels on many of these drugs that they will cause suicide, ideation, tendencies, even actions. But do we listen? Listen, what bugs me, like I said last week, I understand the unsaved. I understand the person that has no hope in God, no faith in God, no walk with God. No, I understand them trying to deal with life and their demons and the forces of darkness and all their stress and problems. I understand them trying to deal with it, looking for some way out, looking for some help, and running to the world system. But Christians, my Lord, I'm telling you, our biggest problem is we just don't believe the Bible. And if we would believe the Bible and act upon it, we would see great change in our lives. If we would obey the Lord, if we would learn spiritual warfare and do it, if we'd learn that this issue is demonic. Here's what blew my mind. The Roman Catholic Church hadn't helped anything. Y'all mind if I preach a little while and teach you a little bit? Okay. Let's go. I'm going to show you the Roman Catholic Church has promoted this in church. Now remember, let's go to Revelation 18. I don't believe there's any dispute that Mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth, is the Roman Catholic Church. There's no question in my mind. She is the whore, the great whore that rides the beast. The beast, the world system, the government system, the Antichrist system. And remember, listen, you want to talk about something that started out the whole psychiatry venue, the whole psychiatry thing with Sigmund Freud. He was as anti-Christ, anti-religion, anti-Christianity as anyone could be. He even said that if you believed in religion, you were insane. Okay? So the whole system is anti-Christ, right? And the whore rides the beast, the woman, the great whore. Mystery Babylon, the Roman Catholic Church, the city on seven hills, clothed in scarlet and purple. She rides the beast. And I'm going to show you what it says about her. In Revelation 18, we tend to overlook this part of it. Let's go down. This is talking about after she is judged. Oh, let me see. Oh, where is it? Ah, here we go. Speaking of it, we'll go down to verse 23. It says, "And the light of a candle shall shine no more in thee at all," talking about the city of Rome, Mystery Babylon, the Roman Catholic Church. It says, "The light of a candle shall no more shine in thee after God judges her. The voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more in thee at all. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth." Now look at this. "For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived." Now, this word sorcery, pharmakeia. And the word deceived means to be led away from truth or safety. So he says the Roman Catholic Church would be involved in this. Now, in this pharmakeia issue. So I pull up this article. I just type in Roman Catholic Church and psychiatric drugs. Right? I just do this last night. And I find this article, and this is in the American magazine, but the American magazine is the National Catholic Review, right? And there's an article here, and this is from July 30th issue of 2001, and it's called The Church and Psychiatry. Y'all see that? the church and psychiatry. Not the true church, mind you, the Roman Catholic Church. Okay? But this goes into basically a historical breakdown of how even early Roman Catholicism did believe that mental illnesses or mental problems, psychological problems, people acting, you know, crazy, they did believe it was demonic because it's what the Bible spelled out. But this little thing goes into talking about how that the church, as science evolved, so did the Roman Catholic Church evolve on the issue, and how they finally came to the point of, you know, it says here, and they had a belief that demonic possession of the mentally ill continues in the New Testament. Now listen to this. This is what the article says. It says, Jesus cures the possessed along with lepers and the blind and the deaf and the lame. In Matthew, a man comes to Jesus beseeching him, Lord, have pity on me, my son, for he is a lunatic. And Jesus rebuked him and the demon came out of him. And from that hour, the boy was cured. So this article goes and says, casting out demons is almost always coupled with other miracles of healing. Yes, this is Bible, New Testament. In Mark, the 12 are sent out two by two, so they went off and preached repentance. They drove out many demons. They anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. Even Luke, a physician, equates casting out demons with curing people. Right? And even those who were tormented by unclean spirits were cured, Luke 6:18. And then he says that, you know, we see that the mental illness is again found in Acts of the Apostles. The sick were brought into the street so that Peter came by and that his shadow would fall on them. And a large number of people from the towns in the vicinity of Jerusalem also gathered, bringing the sick and those disturbed by unclean spirits, and they were cured. Now listen to this. He says, although there are a few descriptions of specific symptoms, the demonically possessed appear to be a mixture of epileptics and the mentally ill. This is not surprising considering that the classification of mental illness began to mature only in the late 19th century. Oh, yes, when everybody started thinking they were smarter than God and God's word and the truth. We should not expect modern diagnostic culture at the time of Christ to understand that. Then he goes on to say how Pope John Paul II and popes before him began to change the church's position. In fact, it is the official position of the Roman Catholic Church that it's quite fine for Christians to take psychiatric drugs. It is just medicine. So the whore is at her business of sorceries. I won't bore you with the rest of that. You can look this up yourself. Now, I want everybody to turn to Mark chapter 5. So, I mean, this is a Roman Catholic magazine. Do you hear what I'm saying? And basically they were saying Jesus just didn't understand what we understand now. Jesus just didn't have the information we have today. The creator of the universe, God in the flesh, the Messiah, he just didn't know some of those people were mentally ill and needed our psychiatric drugs. Sorry, he missed it. You know, the culture just wasn't as advanced as ours. Really? Technology, people, and advancements in knowledge is a two-edged sword. Any advancement in technology can be used for good or bad. And some of it shouldn't be at all. In fact, one of the things it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 about evil men in the last days, the perilous times, it says they will be inventors of evil things. I believe that's in Romans, talks about it in Romans 1 too. Inventors of evil things. Mark chapter 5. See, this is Bible, folks. Let's read this story. It says, and they came over
unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had often been bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. So here's a person socially, among other people, in the public, out of control, right? They even tried to restrain this individual with chains, and they could not restrain it. So he was displaying supernatural strength, right? So we see somebody now today, I mean, there's police officers that try to subdue some people, and it'll take about 10 of them sometimes, right? Oh, it's the drugs. They're on drugs. Maybe, maybe not, right? Maybe it's demonic, as the Bible showed us, right? It says, and always, verse 5, and always night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Now, if someone today said, I cry all the time, and the only thing that makes me feel better is to go cut myself. Anybody know about the cutters? What do? Write them a prescription. When the Bible said it's a sign of demonic possession and demonic activity. So Christians, which do we take? We go get a prescription for a psychotropic drug that we have no idea what it's doing to our brains? Or do we cast the demons out? But see, because the church, though, and I'm talking about the Protestant church, the evangelical church, 99% of it will not even discuss casting demons out of people. That is set on the, not even on the back burner, that is thrown out with the garbage. We don't do that anymore. And most pastors who went to seminaries went to classes in modern psychology. And if they can't help the person, they will send them to a psychiatrist. And they'll write them a prescription. But folks, if you're out of control, if you're crying all the time and cutting yourself, and this doesn't just say, you know, we talk about the cutters, people who cut themselves. It's teenagers that just can't stop. Well, tell me that's a mental illness? No, the Bible said it's demons. Again, I'm making my point today. We're going to get into the real details of what these drugs, individual drugs, lithium, Zoloft, Paxil, we're going to get into what the studies are showing that they're actually doing to your brain, shrinking your brain tissue, causing permanent damage to memory, lithium. Permanent damage. Basically chemical lobotomies going on. Some irreversible. Some people have been turned into basically mentally retarded people. In fact, the Dr. Bregan, you know what he says about it? He said, there's no such thing as chemical imbalances in the brain. He said, the psychotropic drugs are the things that are creating the chemical imbalances in the brain. So we are not treating a chemical imbalance. We are creating chemical imbalances. In fact, a lot of studies, listen to me on this one, listen real closely. Some of the studies that drug companies have tried to hide that Dr. Bregan brings out and he's brought out in court cases and things of that nature and shown the other studies and the studies that they threw aside is that they, when they tested, you know, took their groups and tested these drugs on people, they always test the placebo, right? What is the placebo? The placebo is a nothing. It does nothing. It's a sugar pill, right? It's nothing. It says there were no discernible differences in the people who were given the drug versus the people who were given the placebo, except the people who were given the drug had worse side effects. And what Dr. Bregan says is why the placebo was equal in success to the drug, he said, because really what happened is people got hope. People who felt depressed and hopeless said, here's a pill that's going to help me. So they got hope. And when hope came in, their emotional and mental problem got better. See, this is why you got to have hope. Your hope has to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. Your hope has to be in your Creator. If you don't have hope of eternal life, Paul said you're going to be of all men most miserable. The problem is not our emotional problems, our mental problems are not chemical imbalances. They are because our hope is in either somebody else or something else or in this world system or even in our own strength. Our hope must be in God. And just a little bit of hope with a placebo sugar pill cured most people of their depression. And no side effects. Study after study after study. But guess what? You can't sell placebo. You can't make $330 billion a year as the drug companies do off of these drugs without claiming you have a cure. All right. Let's keep reading this. Mark chapter 5. So this man could not be controlled. He was dwelling in the tombs. No man could bind him. He was always crying, cutting himself. But when he saw Jesus, everybody else say that with me. But when he saw Jesus, come on. When he saw Jesus, oh my, hope came to that man. Right? But when he saw Jesus, notice it says, but when he saw Jesus, he ran and worshiped him. This is a part a lot of people don't focus in on. They think Jesus just walked up and started casting demons at him. No. This man recognized. Maybe he had heard. I think he knew who Jesus was. But he was so controlled. He was so messed up. He was so oppressed. He was so possessed by these demons, afflicted by these demons, that he couldn't get to Jesus. And Jesus came to him, and when he recognized it was Jesus, notice it says he ran, fell down at his feet, and worshiped Jesus. But he still got his problem, right? Boy, this is where a lot of Christians are. They've accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. They've been born again. They've ran to Jesus and worshiped Jesus. But they still have their demons. You don't get rid of your demons just by getting saved. So, he runs to Jesus. He worships Jesus. Let's keep going. And then it says, and he cried with a loud voice, said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. Now, this wasn't the man. The man came and worshiped Jesus. The man ran to Jesus and worshiped Jesus. Then all of a sudden, the demons began to resist and fight this. And the demons speak through him and say, oh, Jesus, what have we don't want you. Don't torment you. See, the presence of Jesus, the anointing of Jesus makes demons uncomfortable. I'll tell you the truth. A lot of people won't come to this church that know they should because the demons in them don't want them to come to this church. Makes them very uncomfortable. I can see them sometimes. They visit and they squirm. And the demons in them, they're so controlled by the demons in them, they know if they hang around too long, somebody's going to figure it out, and they're going to learn the truth, and they might get them cast out. Right? Let's keep reading. So the demons cry out, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? We adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. Why did the demon say, don't torment me? Because it says, look at what, everybody misses this part. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. Jesus already stated it. As he was walking up to him, Jesus said, come out of him, you unclean spirit. He didn't come out immediately. Sometimes deliverance is not instantaneous. It's a process. Here's Jesus who never sinned. Son of God, God in the flesh, full power of the Holy Ghost, had said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And then he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered and said, my name is Legion. This is the demon talking. My name is Legion, for we are many. And he, the demon, besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine. that we would enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and there were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what was done, or what it was that was done, rather. And Jesus, and they come to Jesus and see him. Now listen to this. They see him, they come to Jesus, and they see him, the man that was possessed with the devil and had the legion, sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. In his right mind. That means he was out of his mind. He was insane. Right? He had mental illness. And they didn't give him, Jesus didn't give him Zoloft. Paxil. He said, oh, well, Pastor Dean, those weren't created then. Well, guess what? They still had all kinds of drugs back then. You know the thing that Jesus was to drink? Remember they offered Jesus when he was hanging on the cross. And it said they offered him this drink. And they said it was gall, basically. Right? Well, what it was it was a drug mixed with wine that would create a euphoric event. And they would try to give it to the men that they were crucifying to basically kind of pacify them. It was like a sedative and a painkiller so that they'd be easier to crucify. They wouldn't have to fight with them so much. And it says when it was given to Jesus, he tasted it and then he wouldn't take it anymore. He realized what it was. Obviously, at first he might have thought it was water, but then he spit it out. Why? Because he wasn't going to numb the pain of the cross. Right? Plus, there's always been alcohol, folks. Alcohol, marijuana, mushrooms. There's always been stuff out there that we could abuse, right? But it says when Jesus cast the demons out, the man was clothed and in his right mind. And I love this part. The people in the town were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine, that they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devils prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, and said unto him, go home to your friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee and had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. I think it's interesting. I mean, it's a very few times you see someone say, I want to go with you, Jesus. I want to follow you. And he said, no. Go back to your friends. Go tell them what God's done for you. All right? This situation really looks like one of the first evangelists Jesus sent out. Right? Hear what I'm saying to you. It is not first century primitive culture to believe in demons and to cast out demons. It is not primitive, strange, anti-science. It is not, you know, we're not at the place where, the scientists and the doctors and the psychiatrists have improved upon things. No. Not at all. The Church of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the born-again believers in Jesus should be casting demons out of people who are oppressed, depressed, suicidal, mentally ill. That's what we need to be preaching and doing for each other. And look, this is what Jesus, go to Luke chapter 4. I love this. Luke chapter 4. When Jesus went to Nazareth, verse 16, let's read this. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, that word mean or traumatized, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, this is the ministry that Jesus said he came to do. Let's back up to it. But it's also the ministry, it's supposed to be the ministry of the church. Did not Jesus say, he that believes in John 14, 12, he said, the works that I do shall ye do also. Jesus said in Mark 16, 15 through 20, go preach the gospel in all the world. He that believeth shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. You will cast out demons. The first sign that should follow a believer is believing that we have the authority and power to cast out demons. Right? He said they shall speak with new tongues. That should be normal Christianity. Is preaching the gospel out in the world, casting out demons, healing the sick, speaking with new tongues, operating in prophecy in the supernatural. Don't talk to me about a Christianity that denies these things. That is dead. It is pointless, and that's why they have to lean on psychology. That's why I'm on that. Listen, I know a lot of Pentecostal and charismatic churches, they've got serious problems. Because most of them live in compromise and sin and disobedience, and they don't stick to the scriptures, and so they get off in false doctrine, and they but hear what I'm about to. Jesus said, I mean, through Timothy, 2 Timothy 3. He talked about a having a form of godliness, but denying the power. What good is a version of Christianity? I don't care if you call it Baptist. I don't care if you call it Methodist. I don't care if you call it Presbyterian. I don't care if you call it Charismatic and Pentecostal. I don't care what you call it. If it doesn't set the captives free, if it doesn't heal the brokenhearted, what is it we're talking about? This is defining here. This passage in Luke 4, this passage he's talking about defines emotional problems, mental problems, demonic problems, right? And he says, Jesus, I have come, the anointing, the Holy Spirit's upon me, he said, to preach the gospel to the poor, to preach deliverance to the captives, right? But here's the deal. You can't preach something you don't believe. All the kingdom of God, and I shared this weeks ago, operates by faith. And what is faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, right? But then, as James said, that's Romans 10, 17, but then James said, faith without works is dead being alone, so faith without actions, corresponding actions, is dead. So you have to believe it, and then you have to do it. Imagine that. You will never cast a demon out of anyone until you preach the issue of deliverance to them, the doctrine of deliverance, the teaching of deliverance, and then bind the demons and command them to leave them in Jesus' name. Don't tell me you can't do it, because the scriptures say you can do it. Are you born again? Are you a believer? This sign is supposed to be in your life. Even you younger ones, you can cast out demons in the name of Jesus Christ, if you will believe the word of God and step out and do it. Listen, this is why you guys need to get your act together and follow Jesus with all your heart and get in the scriptures. There are so many teenagers and people around you that are messed up in the head, man. They're messed up because they've been on Ritalin for years. Or they've been on something else, Haldol or whatever, Zoloft. Or they've been in an abusive family. Or they got molested or something happened to them. And they're messed up. You know what? They need you guys to be the light of Jesus and the truth of Jesus and the power of Jesus to them. It's not just for Pastor Dean to do or some preacher. These signs shall follow them that believe. That's what Jesus said. In my name, you will cast out demons. Heal the brokenhearted. Preach deliverance to the captives. The recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, traumatized, broken in pieces. The ministry of the church of Jesus Christ is to heal and deliver the mentally ill, the emotionally troubled, through the power of Jesus. We got to preach it to them, and then we got to lay hands on them and do it. Amen? We got to do more of it around here. Everybody. There is no answer for people's problems. Emotional, mental, or spiritual, there is no answer outside of the power of Jesus Christ. I don't care if they one day threaten to lock me up for preaching the truth that you should not take their psychiatric, psychotropic, sorcery drugs. Some people, listen, some people don't even, that have been taking these things for years, they don't even know, they don't even realize. They have done permanent damage to their nervous system, to their brain. I mean, this entire book, put that book up there, the entire book, the first one. Not that one, the other one. I mean, it's in this one, too. This is just kind of a shorter version. But this one right here, look at this. Brain disabling treatments in psychiatry. Causing certain parts of your brain to enlarge. In fact, they said one of the drugs, I can't remember, he said one of the drugs, the psychotropic drugs, he said actually we're turning cells that are, you know, or circular or oval cells into little spirals. Literally screwing parts of the brain. Basal ganglia. Sound familiar to you? Shrinking it. Damaging it. People living with constant twitching or their tongue darting out of their mouth. They said a lot of people that we see on the street, homeless people that are starting twitching or doing stuff, it's from these drugs. It's damage, physical damage in their nervous system and their brain from these drugs. I thank God for that. There are some men and women out there in psychiatry, in medicine, that are taking a stand against the overwhelming onslaught of the drug companies and all the people who are in their pockets. Now, I want to say this again. I'm going to say this in every session. If you are on these things, you need to get off of them. But you do not need to get off of them just like that by yourself. You better take it slow. You go to your doctor. You tell them, I want off. And I'm going off. And either you're going to help me, or I'm going to do it on my own. But we're done here. And you get off of them. And trust God to bring healing to your brain and your nervous system and your body. And if you need deliverance or healing, and we'll pray for it. But get off these drugs. Anybody you listening to me out there, watching, listening after the fact, get off these drugs. Next week, I'm going to give you more details. Blow your mind. Multiple sources. Multiple studies. Proof. But look at this. I want to show you this. Let me pull this. This is just, this article was just blew my mind. I'm going to close with this one. This was an article in the New American, if I can find it. I got so many open. Goodness. Here we go. Just listen to this and think about this. This is an article Wednesday, March the 6th, 2013, in the New American, very well written, very well documented. It's called Psychiatric Meds, Prescription for Murder. It says, in virtually every mass shooting during the past 15 years, the shooter has been on or in withdrawal from psychiatric drugs, observed Lawrence Hunter of the Social Security Institute. Yet the federal and state governments continue to ignore the connection between psychiatric drugs and murderous violence, preferring instead to exploit these tragedies in an oppressive and unconstitutional power grab to snatch guns away from innocent law-abiding people who are guaranteed by the U.S. Constitution the right to own and bear arms, to deter government tyranny, and to use firearms in self-defense against the evil world out there who would do them harm. The striking connection between the shootings, listen to this, Toby Sincinco, or whatever, a 15-year-old who shot two teachers and himself in 1995 at his South Carolina high school, was taking the antidepressant Zoloft. Kip Kinkle, the Oregon teen who murdered his parents and proceeded on a shooting rampage at his high school in 1998, killed two and wounded 25 while in Prozac withdrawal. Sean Cooper fired two shotgun rounds in 1999 at his Idaho high school while on an antidepressant. T.J. Solomon Jr. was 15 years old when he shot six classmates in Atlanta in 1999. He was taking Ritalin and was also being treated for depression, so meaning he was on multiple drugs. Eric Harris, one of the assailants at the Columbine High School in Colorado in 1999, his autopsy revealed a therapeutic level of the antidepressant Luvox in his system. Jason Hoffman wounded five people with a shotgun at his California high school in 2001 while on two antidepressant medications, Celexa and Effexor. Jeffrey Weiss, a student at Red Lake High School in Minnesota, killed 10 and wounded seven in 2005 while on Prozac. Matty Sari, a college student in Finland, shot and killed 10 people before committing suicide at his university in 2008. The Finnish Ministry of Justice later reported he was taking an antidepressant and an anti-anxiety medication. Steve Kamzamirazak, or whatever, killed six, including himself, at a Northern Illinois university in 2008 while in withdrawal from the antidepressants Prozac. Tim Kreschner murdered 15 students and teachers at his secondary school in Germany in 2009 and then committed suicide. Police reported that Kretzmer was taking prescriptions to treat depression. I could just go on and on. Hey, he says, but here is a scary one here. It says, antidepressants are psychiatric drugs that form a common thread in school shootings. There are five categories of antidepressants: selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, SSRI, selective whatever. I'm not going to read all this. It just goes down the list. But he says that the physician's desk reference here, an authoritative source of all FDA-approved drug labeling information, identifies the potential hazardous side effects of these psychotherapeutics, including suicidal and homicidal ideation. Unfortunately, such effects are not uncommon. In fact, when taking a particular medication poses a serious risk, the FDA requires drug manufacturers to highlight the dangers in eye-catching boxes on pharmaceutical packaging. A drug's black box warning alerts consumers to the major hazards when they face taking that medicine. Most prescriptions do not have black box warnings, only those that can cause extreme adverse reactions compared to the potential benefit. Here are some of the warnings, right? Increased risk of suicidal ideation in short-term studies in children and adolescents with ADHD. This is Strattera. Antidepressants increase the risk of suicidal thinking and behavior. in short-term studies in children, adolescents, and young adults with major depressive disorder or other psychiatric disorders. Zoloft on their box. Monitor appropriately and observe closely for clinical worsening, suicide, or unusual changes in behavior for all patients who are started on antidepressant therapy. This is Parnate, right? High potential for abuse. Avoid prolonged use. Misuse of amphetamine may cause sudden death and serious cardiovascular events. Adderall. These are just a few. Literature warns parents of children on risk and stimulants and doses can cause treatment emergent psychotic or manic symptoms, hallucinations, delusional thinking, mania in children and adolescents without prior history of psychotic illness. So normal children given this crap, these are warnings. How many kids have been on Ritalin? And we wonder why. Now listen, I'm going to read this right here. Dr. Breggin, this article quotes Dr. Breggin. He says, Dr. Breggin is an expert in the mental health field and an outspoken critic of psychiatric drug overuse. Among his more than 20 books on the topic is The Brain Disabling Treatments in Psychiatry 2008 that I put up on the board a minute ago, in which he recounts significant clinical trial involving children taking Prozac. 14% of the study subjects became aggressive and even violent on the drug, but the experience of a 12-year-old boy is particularly disturbing. This is what I want to get to. Listen to this. 38 days after beginning the protocol, this kid, F, they just said, experienced a violent nightmare about killing his classmates until he himself was shot. He awakened from it only with difficulty, and the dream continued to feel very real. He reported having several days of increasingly vivid bad dreams before this episode. These included images of killing himself, his parents dying, and when he was seen later that day, he was agitated and anxious, refused to go to school, and reported marked suicidal ideations that made him feel unsafe at home as well. Reagan notes the boy cannot be labeled a copycat since the study was conducted in 1991, long before the highly publicized school shootings of more recent years. Once the child stopped taking Prozac, his symptoms disappeared. This article is amazing. Just to know, your congressmen and senators have heard testimony on these things, had an opportunity to vote to deal with this problem, and it died in committee. I wonder why. Because the drug companies are funding their campaigns. See, folks, the truth will set you free. This is just the beginning. Let me ask you a question. Those of you here, those listening, I can't see those of you watching and listening, but how many of you here know someone on one of these anti-anxiety, antidepressant, how many of you know somebody on one of these drugs? I'd say the majority. You don't know anybody on one? Well, that's good. All right, let's ask it again. How many of you did know someone? For sure you knew. Again, that's almost everyone in here, so my question is, how many people are on it? And we don't know. I'm really, really, really beginning to go, is this why people are acting? So, you know, Dr. Breggin talks about how this begin, how it numbs you down and makes you kind of, you know, spaced out. And I'm thinking, you know, it would make sense because we've talked about, you know, I talked about last week how, you know, I gave you the articles, the UK Daily Mail and other ones, about how there's been the dramatic increase in the prescriptions and use of these drugs over the last, you know, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. And aren't we seeing more and more people who just seem you can't even talk to them, you can't even explain to them things, you can't, it's just like talking to a wall. And I'm beginning to understand. It may not, it's not just their demonic problems or that they have a learning disability, or they're just hard-headed. I think some of it is, and when I say some of it, probably a very, very large portion, is they're drugged up. They're mentally debilitated, as if trying to witness, trying to share the gospel with a drunk person. You know? How far are you really getting? Who knows, right? You don't know how many drinks we're involved here yet, right? Will they remember the conversation in the morning? Right? I don't try to witness to too many drunk people. If they're really drunk, I'm like, man, I'm wasting my time, because they're not taking it in, and even if they are, they're not going to remember it for the most part. But there are many people walking around drunk, mentally off because of these. Listen, legal drug is still a drug. Right? And whether it's a barbiturate or an amphetamine, I don't care what you call it. You slap whatever name on it you want. You can say mushrooms or Paxil. Right? You can say LSD or Haldol. Right? Cocaine, Ritalin. They say cocaine and Ritalin are almost identical. Right? So much so the kids are selling it and snorting it like cocaine. Time to wake up. The whole world is now engulfed in this new sorcery called psychiatric drugs. People need the church. They need Christians to rise up and first explain this to them and tell them there is hope for deliverance. But again, deliverance can only begin with someone who decides, I'm going to turn from sin. I'm going to repent. I'm going to start following Jesus. I'm going to start obeying God's commands. You got to surrender to the Lord to break off the curse of madness. You want the curse broken? You want the demonic strongholds broken? You want the oppression broken? The first thing you have to do is surrender to God and say, Lord, I've broken your commands. I've sinned. Forgive me. I'm going to obey. And listen, a lot of people don't understand. They think they can keep playing with sin. They can keep playing with sin. Sexual sin, adultery, homosexuality, fornication, premarital sex, or whatever. They think you can keep playing with sin. But see, what you don't understand is, what I pointed out to you today is mental problems, emotional problems, spiritual problems come from disobeying God and the devil coming in and getting a stronghold in you. And you keep playing. What happens is, you may do it once, you may do it twice, you may think I'm getting away with it, but what you don't realize is you're building up a problem that's going to come crashing down upon you. It may take a while. Demon possession in Christians is real. Maybe controversial, but it's the truth. And biblical. I can show biblically how it is possible. I've done that for years. This is nothing new, folks, about deliverance. I tell people all the time, I say, I've been casting demons out of people. Now, next year will be 30 years. Literally been doing it from day one when I rededicated my life. And guess what? 99.9% of the people, and I mean I have lost count how many people that I have cast demons out of that were suicidal, that were depressed beyond measure, that were tormented and vexed, addicted to alcohol, drugs, sexual immorality. 99.9% of them were Christians, born again Christians. Pastors, many of you, many of my church sitting in here can say, yep, I sat down, I didn't believe it years ago, but I heard Pastor Dean preach deliverance, talk about it, realized I had some problems, some demonic strongholds, prayed over it, bound those demons and cast them out, and life changed dramatically. Amen?
Amen.
Some of you got some more to do too. Some of you hadn't even started yet. That's all right. We'll get it. All right? All right. Y'all learn something? All right, let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, we come to you today and we thank you. Lord, we want to see, we want to be a church that is prepared to set the captives free. Lord, help us speak the truth to many, many people out there, Lord, that are destroying themselves. Sin, disobedience to your commands, but using these drugs to try to mask the emotional, mental, and demonic problems that they have. Lord, help us to snatch some people out of that destruction, out of that total mess that they're in. Lord, we want to see captives set free, delivered, ignoring the problem or running to the world's answer instead of you. Lord, that's not going to work. We have to run to you. You are our hope, Jesus. You're the hope of the world. You're the only true hope. Lord, I pray that you help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, all right. Anybody got anything they want to share before we leave this morning? Is that the truth? All right. Go ahead and hit stop on that if you would, brother. All right.